3 different times I've been invited to speak on healing at the biggest Baptist seminary in the state of Texas, Southwestern, right down here in Fort Worth. And, of course, I always catch a lot of flack. You know, it don't make any difference, you know, especially the young guys, you know, that, you know, some of those preachers that are 25, 30 years old that think they know everything. They don't know nothing yet. But, you know, praise God, be merciful to them, Lord. They'll learn someday. And the fact that this one man asked me a question. He says, I got a question. I said, what's that? He said, we did what James 5, 14 and 15 says for my uncle, and he had cancer. And said, we anointed him with oil, and he died anyway. He said, what's the problem? I said, sin. I said, number one, y'all didn't pray in faith. He said, we did. I said, no, you didn't, because God's word can't lie. And if you'd have prayed the prayer of faith, I guarantee God would have healed that man. God, can God lie? No, God can't lie. I said, you probably said, Lord, if it be your will. He said, well, of course that's what we prayed. Anything wrong with that? I said, there ain't no faith in that. That's what there is. So you see, we don't realize that God's word is perfect and precise to the letter. And you have to do it exactly like he says. You know, if you don't pray in faith, God clearly tells you in his word, he will not do anything for you, doesn't he? Yes, he does. He tells you, if you don't pray in faith, I won't do nothing for you. Now let's go to the next chapter, chapter 2, and verses 1 through 26. We'll see how many of these we get through. 2 Timothy 2, 1. Thou therefore, my son, so be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to be faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now then, we need to be teaching the Word of God to people that will listen to God's Word and then go do something with it. This is the whole thing of this verse right here. You need to teach people. Now, I had rather have a little church with a handful of people in it that's going to take God's word and go do something with it. That's going to pray for people. That's going to be used of God for his glory than to have a church of 10,000 and none of them bring their Bible and I don't teach them nothing about the power of God and they go out next week and nobody does anything for Jesus. You know, there's churches like that out there. I was a member of one a long, long time. Okay, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember, you are a soldier. Now, I realize girls sometimes don't make good soldiers. My wife is not a good soldier. She's definitely a girl. You know, praise the Lord. When it comes to the hardcore stuff, she sends me out there to the front line. She don't want to go. Well, I mean, is that the way it should be? Absolutely. You girls are all in agreement with her. The guys, we're supposed to be the front line fighters, right? Y'all are supposed to be way behind us back at home cooking dinner or something. So, absolutely. And that's what my wife, when I go out and work in the barn, I mean, if I go out there working on a truck or something, and I go out there, of course, in these days, like Friday, the part came in for my airplane. I broke a deal on my landing gear on the left side, and I finally got it Friday about noon. I went down to Fort Worth and picked it up, and I got back out to the airport about 1, and I worked on the airport plane from 1 o'clock outside till 9 o'clock to get through with it. Now, they said the heat index was 110 Friday. And my wife, she didn't even come out and check on me or nothing, and she called me about 5 o'clock and said, honey, are you coming for dinner? I said, oh, I'm so glad you called. Could you bring me a big glass of ice water? I hadn't had a drink of water all day. And she said, I got a better idea. Why don't you just come on in for dinner right now and we'll have dinner. Then you can go back and work on the airplane. But see, she didn't want to get out of the air conditioning, see? You see what I mean? So she wanted me to come to the house, cool off a little bit. See, that's what she was really thinking. She's thinking about me. She wants me to come cool off a little while because I'm out there from 1 o'clock, and I did come in about 5:30, and then 6 o'clock something, and had dinner right quick, rested a few minutes, and went back and worked on it, finished it. I got through with it at 9 o'clock that night. It was beginning to get fairly cool by 9 o'clock. Oh, you do? You have to, you mean you have to have water?
Yes, sir.
Nobody ever told me you need water. Yeah, I know. You know, I've always been like that. I don't know why I'm like that. I just don't know why I'm like that, you know, but I'll go out and work in the heat like that. Never even take me a jug of water. You know, I know I need water, but if I get out somewhere where there is no water and I'm working, I just keep on working and keep on working and keep on working. You know what I mean, right? A lot of us guys are like this. See, when we get a box open, we're working on that airplane. I ain't thinking about a drink of water. I'm thinking about getting my airplane finished. And I've got it jacked up, and I'm trying to put a landing gear trunnion. I broke one of them the other day when I landed or something. But anyway, I got it fixed Friday, praise, about 9 o'clock at night. So, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you're a soldier, sometimes, of course, you don't have to stay out like that, like I was, but sometimes when you're a soldier, you have to stay out in the heat or the cold. Sometimes it's not easy being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's tough. We're not very tough. We give up real easy, especially when it comes to fighting the battles for Jesus. I think we ought to change that. I think we ought to be willing to fight the fight of faith, just like Paul told us. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. If you're going to run this race, you're going to fight this battle, you're going to have to fight it according to God's rules. You're going to have to read His rule book, and you're going to have to do everything according to His rules, because it never works when you do it your way. You always have to do it God's way. And that's just like that testimony I read to you a while ago, that guy. It's amazing that this guy, Bill Wallace, never seen him before in my life till I saw him out there mowing that grass when Kathy said, that guy has cancer. I said, wow. She said, yeah, they didn't give him long to live. I said, well, let me talk to him. So I went out and told him, I said, sir, I need to talk to you. They tell me you have cancer. Yeah, but ain't nothing can be done for me. I got good news for you. There is something can be done for you. Jesus is a healer. And I said, you probably got unforgiveness towards someone, or you're not putting God first. Now, you know how many men I've run into in my life with cancer that did not put God first? Isn't that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5? What did the first thing it say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And what are we supposed to do? Love who? With how much heart? Heart, soul, mind, everything, right? And if we don't obey Him, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to do whatever He has to do to bring you into that love walk. As long as everything's going good, you got money in the bank, you got a car paid for, house payments, kids are all fed and clothed, who needs God? I'm doing this. Me, Dad, I'm doing it. I don't need God. Is that the way men think? Yeah, that's the way we think. And then God knocks your legs out from under you and hits you with cancer. And all of a sudden, you can't do nothing. You can't go nowhere. And you only got a few months to live. Now then, if there was ever a time to seek God, it's now. Isn't it, Bill? That's the time to... But see, if we'd have sought Him before, we'd have walked with Him before, we'd have sought Him with all our heart, mind, and strength before, we wouldn't be down sick like that. Isn't that something? If we just obey God and do what He says. Verse 7 and 8. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul wrote his gospel. But Jesus Christ, the best documented event in history, it did really happen. People will tell you that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. But let me tell you, He did. Wow. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Wherefore, or wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In other words, whatever we need to do to bring people into the kingdom of God, we need to be actively involved in it. You need to be telling people about Jesus. I think about the number of times we pray for people, and I think about this doctor, a medical doctor, that used to come to our church in Dallas. He was, what is that that you have in your back that twists? Scoliosis. Scoliosis, what? His back was so crooked, and it's unbelievable when I'd lay my hand on this doctor's back. He said, I heard about your ministry, and I want you to pray for me. He said, what I have is incurable by man. I'd put my hand on that back, that big old thing is sticking out of his back, and it's just crooked, and I'd lay my hand, and I'd rebuke that spirit of hell, command that thing to leave him, and ask the Lord to heal and straighten that back up. And he'd come back next week, and it's just like it was before. And I'd pray over it again. He might miss a week or two, and then he'd be back. And I'd pray it over it again. I prayed over that back I don't know how many times. Finally, one day, somebody brought me a picture of him. I can't remember who it was. That was you, Bill? You're the one who brought me that picture. Dr. Gilbert. Yeah. And he was completely healed. His back was completely, normally straight again. I'm glad you're here today, Bill, as you brought the picture. But we prayed over Dr. Gilbert over and over and over in that church, didn't we, Bill? But that back was crooked, and it was awful. But what can God do? Is there anything hard for God? When he doesn't do it the first time, you don't ever give up. That's the thing. It didn't matter how many times Dr. Gilbert, yeah, I'm glad you sat, I couldn't even remember his name. But Dr. Gilbert come to me many a time and said, Thurman, I want you to pray for my back. And I'd put my hand up there, and that thing, I bet it stuck out that far. Yeah, his back was just like this and crooked, his spine. It was awful. I'd rebuke them devils of hell, command them things to come out of him, and ask the Lord to move in that spirit and straighten that back up in Jesus' name. Now, obviously, every time we did it, we got a demon kicked out. Finally, one day, God straightened it up. Don't you love it when God shows up and does something like that for you?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, A Vessel of Honor for God's Glory, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.